بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, and we have reached, and we are in chapter 3, the chapter on sabr, on patience. And we have reached hadith number 30. وعن صهيب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان ملك في من كان قبلكم وكان له ساحر، فلما كبر قال للملك إني قد كبرت فابعث إلي غلاما أعلمه السحر. Narrated صهيب رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, among the people before you there was a king, and he had a sorcerer, a court magician. When the sorcerer became old, he said to the king, I have now become an old man. Get me a boy so that I may teach him السحر, sorcery. فبعث إليه غلاما يعلمه. So the king sent him a boy to teach him sorcery. وكان في طريقه إذا سلك راهب. On his way, meaning to the magician, he, the young man, found a monk, فقعد إليه وسمع كلامه فأعجبه. So he listened to him. The boy sat with a monk who was on his way and listened to his talks and used to admire them. وكان إذا أتى الساحر مر بالراهب وقعد إليه. فإذا أتى الساحر ضربه. So when he went to the sorcerer, he passed by the monk and sat there with him. And on visiting the sorcerer, the latter thrashed him. فشكى ذلك إلى الراهب. So the boy complained about that to the monk. فقال إذا خشيت الساحر فقل حبسني أهلي. Whenever you are afraid of the magician, the sorcerer, say to him, my people kept me busy. وَإِذَا خَشِيتَ أَهْلَكَ فَقُلْ حَبَسَنِيَ السَّاحِرِ. And whenever you are afraid of the sorcerer, say to him, my people kept me busy. And whenever you are afraid of your people, say to them, the sorcerer kept me busy. So the boy carried on like that for a period. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إذ أتى على دابة عظيمة قد حبست الناس. While he is in this state, there came on the main road a huge creature, animal, and the people were unable to pass by. فقال اليوم أعلم الساحر أفضل أم الراهب أفضل. The boy said, today I will know whether the sorcerer is better or the monk is better. فأخذ حجرا فقال اللهم إن كان أمر الراهب أحب إليك من أمر الساحر فاقتل هذه الدابة حتى يمضي الناس. So he took a stone and invoked Allah and said, O Allah, if the deeds and actions of the monk are liked by you better than those of the sorcerer, then kill this creature so that the people can cross the road. فَرَمَاهَا فَقَتَلَهَا وَمَضَى النَّاسِ. Then he hit it with the stone and it was killed, and the people passed the road. فأتى الراهب فأخبره فقال له الراهب أي بني أنت اليوم أفضل مني. The boy came to the monk and informed him about it. The monk said to him, Oh my son, today you are better than I. قد بلغ من أمرك ما أرى. You have achieved what I see. وإنك ستبتلى. فإن ابتليت فلا تدل علي. And you will be put to a trial. You will be tested. And in case you are to put or are put to trial, don't inform them about me. Don't inform them about me. وكان الغلام يبرئ الأكمه والأبرص ويداوي الناس من سائر الأدواء. The boy used to treat the people suffering from born blindness, leprosy, leukodermia, and other diseases. فسمع جليس للملك كان قد عمي. A blind courtier of the king heard about the boy. فأتاه بهدايا كثيرة. So he came to him with numerous gifts. He brought numerous gifts to the boy and said, ما ها هنا لك أجمع إن أنت شفيتني. All these gifts are for you on condition that you cure me. Listen. On condition that you cure me. فقال إني لا أشفي أحدا إنما يشفي الله تعالى. The boy said, I do not cure anybody. It is only Allah alone who cures people. فإن آمنت بالله دعوت الله فشفك. So if you believe in Allah and invoke Allah, he will cure you. فآمن بالله تعالى فشفاه الله. Later, or he then believed in Allah and Allah cured him. فأتى الملك فجلس إليه كما كان يجلس. So this companion of the king came to the king and sat at the place where he used to sit before. فقال له الملك, the king asked him, من رد عليك بصرك? Who has given you back your sight? قال ربي. He said, my lord. قال أولك رب غيري? He said, do you have a lord other than me? قال ربي وربك الله. He said, my lord and your lord is Allah. فأخذه فلم يزل يعذبه حتى دل على الغلام. The king got hold of him and kept on tormenting him till he informed about the boy. فجيء بالغلام. So the boy was brought. فقال له الملك, أي بني قد بلغ من سحرك ما تبرئ الأكمه والأبرص وتفعل وتفعل. O boy, has your knowledge of sorcery reached to the extent that you cure born blind, lepers, leukodermic patients, and do such and such? فقال إني لا أشفي أحدا إنما يشفي الله تعالى. The boy replied, I don't cure anybody. It is only Allah alone who cures, who does the cure. فأخذه فلم يزل يعذبه حتى دل على الراهب. So the king got hold of him and kept on tormenting him till he informed about the monk. فجيء بالراهب فقيل له ارجع عن دينك. The monk was brought and it was said to him, give up your religion, turn apostate. فأبى. The monk refused to turn apostate. فدعا بالمنشار فوضع المنشار في مفرق رأسه. Then the king ordered a saw, and it was put in the middle of his scalp, and was sawn till he fell cut in two pieces. فشقه به حتى وقع شقاه، ثم جيء بجليس الملك فقيل له ارجع عن دينك. Then that companion was brought and it was said to him, give up your deen, turn apostate. فأبى, so he refused. فوضع المنشار في مفرق رأسه فشقه به حتى وقع شقا. So the saw was put in the middle of his scalp and he was sawn till he fell cut in two pieces. ثم جاء بالغلام فقيل له ارجع عن دينك فأبى. So then the boy was brought and it was said to him, give up your deen, turn apostate. The boy refused to turn apostate. فدفعه إلى نفر من أصحابه فقال اذهبوا به إلى جبل كذا وكذا فاصعدوا به الجبل فإذا بلغتم ذروته فإن رجع عن دينه وإلا فاطرحوه. So the king ordered some of his fellows to take the boy to such and such a mountain, saying, then ascend up the mountain with him till you reach its top. Then see if he turns apostate from his religion, well and good. Otherwise, throw him down from its top. فذهبوا به فصعدوا به الجبل فقال اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت. They took him, ascended up the mountain, and the boy said, O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish. فرجف بهم الجبل فسقطوا. So the mountain shook and all of them fell down. وجاء يمشي إلى الملك فقال له الملك ما فعل بأصحابك. And the boy came walking to the king. The king asked him, what did your companions do? فقال كفانيهم الله تعالى. He said, Allah has saved me from them. فدفعه إلى نفر من أصحابه فقال اذهبوا به فاحملوه في قرقور وتوسطوا به البحر فإن رجع عن دينه وإلا فاقذفوه. The king then ordered some others to take the boy on board a boat into the middle of the sea, saying, then if he turns apostate from his religion, well and good. Otherwise, cast him into the sea. فذهبوا به. فقال اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت. So they took him, and he said, O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish. فانكفأت بهم السفينة فغرقوا وجاء يمشي إلى الملك. So they took him, and he said, O Allah, save me from them by anything you wish. So the boat capsized. And all the accompanying cultures were drowned. The boy then came walking to the king. And the king said, ما فعل بأصحابك? What did your companions do? فقال كفانيهم الله تعالى. The boy said, Allah saved me from them. فقال للملك إنك لست بقاتلي حتى تفعل ما آمرك به. And then the boy replied, say, Allah save me from them. And he further said to the king, you cannot kill me till you do what I command. The king said, Mahu, what is it that command of yours? فقال, تجمع الناس في صعيد واحد. Gather all the people in an upland place and fasten me over the stem of a tree. وَتَصْلِبُنِي عَلَى جِذْعٍ. And hang me by the trunk of a tree. ثُمَّ خُذْ سَهْمًا مِنْ كِنَانَتِي ثُمَّ ضَعِ السَّهْمَ فِي كَبِدِ الْقَوْسِ ثُمَّ قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْغُلَامِ ثُمَّ ارْمِنِي. Then take an arrow from my quiver and fix it in the bow. And say in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy, and shoot at me. إذا فعلت ذلك قتلتني. If you do that you will kill me. فجمع الناس في صعيد واحد وصلبه على جذع، ثم أخذ سهما من كنانته، ثم وضع السهم في كبد القوس، ثم قال باسم رب الغلام، ثم رماه فوقع السهم في صدغه، فوضع يده في صدغه فمات. So he called the people in an open place and gathered them and tied the boy to the trunk of the tree. Then he took hold of an arrow from his quiver and then placed the arrow in the bow and then said, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the young boy, and shot the arrow. And the arrow hit over the temporal region, his temple, of the skull of the boy. And the boy put his hand over the temporal region of his skull at that point, at the point where the arrow hit, and then died. And the people said, فَقَالَ النَّاسُ آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْغُلَامِ. Allahu Akbar. So the people said, we have believed in the Lord of the boy. فَأُتِيَ الْمَلِكُ فَقِيلَ لَهُ. The king came and it was said to him, that is the thing which you were afraid of by Allah. قَدْ وَاللَّهِ نَزَلَ بِكَ حِذْرُكَ. The thing which you were afraid of has befallen or fallen you, and the people has believed. فَقَدْ آمَنَ النَّاسِ. فَأَمَرَ بِالْأُخْدُودِ بِأَفْوَاهِ السِّكَكِ فَخُدَّتْ. So he ordered for deep ditches to be dug at the entrances of the roads, and it was done. Then fire was kindled in these ditches. وَأُضْرِمَ فِيهَا النِّيرَانِ وَقَالَ مَنْ لَمْ يَرْجِعْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَأَقْحِمُوهُ فِيهَا. And the king ordered that whoever did not turn apostate from his religion be cast into the ditches, and it was done. حَتَّى جَاءَتْ إِمْرَأَ وَمَعَهَا صَبِيٌّ لَهَا. Then there came a woman with her babe. فتقاعست أن تقع فيها. She nearly retreated back from the ditch. But the boy spoke. فقال لها الغلام يا أماه اصبري فإنك على الحق. O mother, be patient, you are on the truth. So she threw herself in the ditch of the fire along with her child to be with the martyrs in paradise. This is the hadith of Suhaib, the hadith of the boy and the magician and the king. The explanation of this hadith is mentioned in the chapter of sabr, of patience, and there is a strange and amazing story. A king from the kings who had a magician, and he was close to the king in order to use him for his benefits on behalf of the deen, because this king only cares for his own interest, and he was a tyrant dictator, made people submissive to him. When this magician or sorcerer grew old, he told the king, I became old, so find me a boy to teach him magic, sorcery. Why did he choose a boy? Because this would be better in terms of a reception of teaching the young remains and becomes established and not forgotten. And that's why teaching at young age has great merit to it in comparison to that at an old age, learning at an old age. And in both there is goodness. Learning, in the young age is beneficial from first perspective of having a stronger memory than the old, because the youth and the young intellect, or rather mind, is or capability of memorization is not as occupied as that of the old age, which is rather occupied by many things of the life already. Second benefit is what is memorized by the at young age remains, while at an old age it gets forgotten. And that's why the saying of wisdom, which is widespread amongst people, إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ فِي الصِّغَرْ كَالنَّقْشِ فِي الْحَجَرْ. Learning at an early age is like imprinting in rocks. I mean, it remains. And another benefit, when a person at young age is taught, the knowledge becomes like something instinctive and naturally grows. He grows on that. So this old sorcerer or magician, he became old and he knew of life and he experienced it. So he requested from the king to choose for him a young boy to teach him sorcery. So he sent him the boy of our story, and he told him what he told him. But Allah intended good for this boy. On one day, the boy passed by a monk, and he sat and heard him saying things, and he liked that. This, because this monk, he is a worshipper, doesn't say except that which is good. And it could be that he was a scholar monk, but the part of worship is greater in his life, and so he is called Rahib because of the Rahbaniyya, the monasticism due to worship which monks take. So when this boy began coming to this monk, leaving his people, he would be late for the magician. And so the magician began beating him. "Why are you late?" So he complained to the monk. So the monk told him something. "If you go to the magician and you fear that he may punish you, then say that my people kept me. So the reason for delay is that his people kept him. And if you come to your people, then tell them that the magician kept you, so that you be saved from your people and the magician." And it is as if, and Allah knows best, that the monk commanded the boy with this, though it is lying, maybe because that this, he thought that the benefit would be greater than the harm of lying. Yet it is also possible that he may be making a kind of ta'wil. So he did. And he began doing the same. Every time he goes to the magician, he tells his people that the magician delayed him, and the opposite. Then one day, when he was on this back and forth trips, he saw a huge animal blocking the road. And in the hadith, the there is no specificity of the type of this animal or its kind. So people are trapped, they could not pass. So the boy intended to make a test, a trial. Is the monk better than the magician? So he took a stone and invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, if the status or the affair of this monk is better, then to make this animal, to kill this animal. And he hit it with the stone and it was killed, and people went their way. So the ghulam, the boy, knew that the case of the rahib is better than the magician. And this is a matter, there is no doubt about it. Because the magician is either an oppressing transgressor or a kafir mushrik. In case he does his magic through the help of shayateen, where he draws nearer to them and worships them and invokes them and seeks refuge in them and help from them, then this is kafir mushrik. But if the magician does not do that, however he transgresses against people and causes them harm through some kind of medicines or so forth, magical spells and so forth, then this is transgression and oppression. And with respect to the monk, if he used to worship Allah based on guidance, then he is guided. Otherwise, if he had any kind of ignorance or misguidance, it may be that his intention was good, even though his knowledge is evil, or is bad, or his action rather, correction, or his action is or could be bad. So the boy informed the monk as to what occurred. He told him, you are better than me today. Why? Because the ghulam, the boy, invoked Allah, and Allah answered his invocation. And this is from the blessing of Allah upon the slave. That is because if the person becomes doubtful about a certain matter, then he asks from Allah to make it clear, like in this situation, then this is a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah. And that's why al-istikhara, seeking guidance from Allah, when a person is about to do something and it's problematic, should he press forward and there is good in that, or should he refrain and there is good in that, then in this case he makes istikhara, seeking guidance from Allah. And if the person seeks this with truthfulness and with faith, then Allah will give him and will show him that which he can take as a sign for good to proceed or to refrain, either by throwing something in his heart which will open his chest for the matter, either to this or to that, or he may show him something in his dream, or he may show him through consultation with a person, or by other ways. And it was from the extraordinary things happening to this boy is that he miraculously cured the leper and the ill person, the born blind, the leprosy, meaning that he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will bestow upon them the cure. And this is from the miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this boy. And this is different from the story of Isa alayhi salam. Isa would wipe over the person suffering from the disease. However, this person invokes Allah, and Allah answers his invocation. Now the monk informed this boy that he will be tested and he will be tried, and that he informed him not to tell of him if he is tested by anything of that. And it is as if this boy is, his dua is answered. Now, there was this blind companion of the king, brought all these gifts to the boy. When he heard of him, he told him, take all of this for you. If you cure me, he answered, only Allah cures you. Look at the iman, the faith. He was not deceived by himself, and he did not claim that he is the one who can cure. He said, إِنَّمَا يَشْفِيكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who cures you. And this in some way resembles what occurred to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, rahmatullahi alayhi. When a person who was possessed by jinn, and this jinn occupied him, when this person was brought to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, recited, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah recited upon him, but the jinni did not leave. So Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah began beating on the neck of this possessed man, and strongly. Even the hands of Shaykh al-Islam got tired. Then the jinni spoke and said, listen what he said, أَخْرُجُ كَرَامَةً لِلشَّيْخِ. I will leave him as a respect and honor for the Shaykh, meaning for Ibn Taymiyyah. فَقَالَ لَهُ الشَّيْخ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Shaykh al-Islam رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ responded and said, لَا تَخْرُجْ كَرَامَةً لِي وَلَكِنْ أخرج طاعة لله ورسوله. Don't leave him. Don't get out as a respect and honor and reverence of me or for me, but rather as obedience to Allah and His Messenger. He doesn't want this kind of merit. The merit is for Allah. The bounty is from Allah first and foremost. So the jinni left him. And when the jinni left him, the man awoke. And then he looked and said, what brought me here to the Shaykh? It was possible that when he was possessed and fell unconscious, that this occurred at his home or in the market. They said to him, Subhanallah. Alam tahussa bil-darb alladhi kana yadrubuk? Didn't you feel the beating he was beating you? He said, مَا أَحْسَسْتُ بِهِ وَلَا أَوْجَعْنِي. I didn't feel it, and it didn't cause me any pain. So they informed him, and then the man, alhamdulillah, was healed. So the point of evidence here is that the people of knowledge and the people of iman, they don't attribute the ni'mah of Allah, the bounty of Allah, to themselves, but rather they attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. Most mighty and most majestic is He. So the boy told this blind man, if you believe, I will invoke Allah. So he believed. So the boy invoked Allah to cure him, and Allah cured him. And so he began to see. Allah restored his sight to him. So this company of the king returned to the king as usual. So the king asked him, who was the one who restored your sight to you? He said, my lord. وَلَكَ رَبٌ غَيْرِي. You have a lord other than me? He said, my lord and your lord is Allah. So he took him. And the punishment and torment began. Until he spoke of the boy. And so they tortured him. Who taught you that? Remember the monk told him you will be tested and don't tell of me. However, it may be possible that he was not capable of being patient on this. So he told of the monk. And this tyrant, once he heard of this, he ordered the monk to be brought. And so he commanded him to reject the religion, denounce it. So he refused. They brought the saw and they cut him into pieces from head, through the neck, through the back, until he turned into two pieces and fell off. This did not prevent him from holding to his faith. And he accepted and was content to be killed in this way, but not to renounce the deen. MashaAllah. So they brought this blind man who was cured and who believed and who rejected the king. Again, denounce your religion, reject it. They tortured him, but he didn't. And this indicates that the person must be patient. However, should the person, or is it obligatory upon the person to be patient even if killed? Or is it permissible to utter the word of kufr, of disbelief, and there is no harm if compelled? The answer is, if the matter is only related to the person himself, revolves around the person only, then he has the choice. If he wishes, he may utter the statement of kufr to ward off the compelling, yet he must have full faith in his heart with tranquility and assertiveness. And if he also chooses, he can hold on and refuse even if killed. This is the first situation. If it is related to the person himself, for example, if he is commanded to prostrate to an idol and he didn't and he was killed, or he prostrated to ward off the harm and saved himself from killing, he has the choice between these two situations. However, on the other hand, if the matter is related to the deen, to the religion, meaning, if the person declares kufr, even outwardly, in front of people, and this would lead that people also declare kufr, then it is not permissible for him to utter the word of kufr. Rather, it's a must upon him to be patient, even if killed. This is like the jihad in the cause of Allah. The mujahid proceeds in the fight even if killed, because he intends that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be the highest, be the supreme. And so if this is done in the open, in front of people, and he is compelled to say the word of kufr, then it is not permissible for him to do so, especially at times of fitna. Rather, he must be patient, even if killed. Even if killed. The same occurred to Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, when he was tested by that great trial, the famous one, to say that the Quran was created and was not the word of Allah. What's the implication of this for Imam Ahmad to say that the Quran is created and it is not the word of Allah? If the Quran is created, then this means the command and everything else is the same. There is no command whatsoever. So he was punished and harmed, and he was driven by a mule going through the markets. The Imam of Ahl Sunnah, driven as such and whipped, and goes unconscious, and every time he wakes up he says, Al-Qur'anu kalamu Rabbi ghayru makhluq. The Qur'an is the speech of my Lord, uncreated. The Qur'an kalamu Rabbi. Al-Qur'an kalamu Rabbi. The Qur'an is the speech of my Lord, ghayru makhluq, uncreated. He did not permit for himself to say the statement of kufr, even though he was compelled. Why? Because the people were waiting. What will Imam Ahmad say? Had he said, Al-Qur'an makhluq, the Qur'an is created, the whole people will say, the Qur'an is created, and the whole deen will be corrupt. However, he, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he made himself a sacrifice for the deen. And he was patiently persevering. And the outcome was for him. And all praise is due to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. The Khalifa died. And the second Khalifa died following him. And Allah brought another Khalifa, a good one, who honored Imam Ahmad, a great honor. And when Imam Ahmad died, and Imam Ahmad lived and saw, and his eye was in comfort for the truth which he said, saying it loudly, and people saying loudly that the Quran is the speech of Allah, is the word of Allah. His enemies were defeated, were humiliated. Those who were around the Khalifa whispering, and all praise is due to Allah. And this is evidence that the outcome, and the good outcome, is for the patient, persevering ones. And all success is from Allah, first and foremost. When the king killed the monk and killed his companion, the boy was brought, and he was asked to denounce the deen and to be on the deen, on the way of the king. And the way of the king is the deen of shirk. Why? Because this, wal'ayadu billah, this king used to call people to submit to him and worship him and deify him. The ghulam, the boy, refused to be an apostate. So he was taken by the king company, whom the king told them, take him to such and such high mountain. Known mountain to them, very high. When you reach its peak, then throw him, so that he falls off and dies. After you, of course, tell him to renounce his religion. If he doesn't, then throw him down the mountain. When they reached, they asked him. He refused, because the iman has settled in his heart, and therefore he was not shaken. When they were about to throw him, he invoked Allah, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'. O Allah, save me from them in the way you wish. This is the invocation of the person in need, the believer. Save me from them in the way you wish. He did not mention, he did not specify. The mountain was shaken, and they all fell off and died and destroyed. And the ghulam, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. The ghulam came back walking to the king. He returned to the king. The king asked him, where are your company? He said, Allah saved me from them. Then he gave him to another company, told them, take him to the midst of the sea in a ship, and then offer him to return to renounce his religion, otherwise throw him into the sea. They did. He refused, and he invoked Allah again, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. O Allah, save me from them and what they want to do, in the way you wish. The ship was capsized and they all drowned, and Allah saved him. Allahu Akbar. Then he came walking to the king. Where are your people? Where are your company? What happened to your companions? He told him. Then he told him, look, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ قَاتِلِي. You will not be able to kill me until you do what I tell you. Until you do what I tell you. He said what? He said, you gather the people in an open place, all the people. Then you tie me to the trunk of the tree. Then you take this arrow, and then you take it from the quiver, and then you throw it at me, shoot it at me, and you must say, however, Bismillah Rabbil Ghulam. When you do that, you say, Bismillah, the Lord of the boy. If you do this, فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ قَتَلْتَنِي. If you do this, then you will kill me. The people were gathered, brought, the boy was tied to the trunk of the tree, the king took from his an arrow from the quiver, and then he took and he said, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy, and then he shot an arrow and it bit his temple. He put his hand on his temporal part of the skull and he died. People said, when they saw this, they said, Bismillah Rabbil Ghulam, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy. Wa amanu, and they believed, and they rejected the king and disbelieved in the king. And this is what the boy wanted. This is what the boy wanted. In this hadith, there are many benefits. First, the strong iman of this boy. The strong iman of this boy. He was not shaken away in any way from his faith. Second, there is a sign from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him by answering his invocation. He made the mountain shake in those with those who wanted to destroy and throw the boy from the peak of the mountain. And they were the ones who were destroyed. Third, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the invocation of the one in need if he invokes Allah. So if the person invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of necessity with certainty that Allah answers him, then Allah answers him. Even the kafir, if they at times of necessity invoke Allah, Allah will answer their call. Yet he, Allah, knows that they will return to their kufr, as in the case of the mushriks of the Arabs, when they were in the midst of the sea and waves were like mountains coming in their direction, they resorted sincerely to Allah, and when Allah saved them, they returned afterwards to their shirk. He saved them because they were sincere and truthful in returning to him upon invoking him, and he answers the call of the distressed, even a kafir. The fourth benefit: it is permissible for the person to risk himself for the sake of a greater benefit for the Muslims. This boy showed the king a matter where he can kill him and destroy himself with it. Take the arrow from its quiver and shoot him, and say Bismillah, the Lord of the boy. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, because this is jihad fi sabilillah, this is jihad in the cause of Allah, an entire ummah, nation believed, and he did not lose anything, the boy, because he died, and he will die sooner or later. So there was what? A great manifested benefit. However, what is done by some people from committing suicide. However, what is done by some people committing suicide, where they take explosives and then proceed to the kafirs and then detonate themselves, if they are amongst the kafirs, then this is from killing oneself, wal'iyadu billah. And whoever kills himself, then he is eternally in the fire of hell. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, in Bukhari volume 7, book 71 and hadith 670, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever on purpose, throws himself from a mountain and kills himself, will be in hell fire, falling down into it and abiding therein perpetually. And whoever perpetually forever, and whoever drinks poison and kills himself with it, he will be carrying his poison in his hand and drinking it in the hellfire, wherein he will abide eternally forever. And whoever kills himself with an iron weapon, this is the point of evidence, whoever kills himself with an iron weapon will be carrying that weapon in his hand and stabbing his abdomen with it in the hellfire, wherein he will abide eternally forever. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah from this, because this person killed himself not in the benefit of Islam, not for the benefit of Islam, because if he kills himself and he kills with himself 10 or 100 or 200, the Muslims will not benefit, Islam will not benefit from that, and people will not come to Islam in opposition to the story of this boy, where many people became Muslims. Everyone who came to this open place, to this gathering place, became Muslims. However, for 10 or 20 or 100 or 200 from the enemies die, this does not necessitate that people will become Muslims. Rather, it may lead the enemy to become more stubborn, more and more, and then come to destroy Muslims the strongest way, as كما يوجد من صنع اليهود مع أهل فلسطين, as it is occurring by the Jews with the people of Palestine. The people of Palestine, if one of them dies by these explosives and kills with him 6, 7, they take from that in retaliation 60 or more, and there is no benefit for the Muslims in this, and there is no benefit for those who killed themselves, and for those amongst whom the explosives were detonated. And that's why we see, and this is the saying of our Shaykh Rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, وَلِهَذَا نَرَى. And that's why we see that what is done by some people, that this is from suicide, it's killing of oneself unjustly, and that it entails the admittance to hell, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, and that the person himself is not a martyr, is not shaheed. However, if the person does this due to interpretation, thinking that this is permissible, then we hope, نرجو, we hope, أن يسلم من الإثم, we hope that he will be saved from the sin. وأما أن تكتب له الشهادة فلا. However, for him that martyrdom is written or assigned, then no, because لأنه لم يسلك طريقة الشهادة, طريقة الشهادة, because he did not follow the path of martyrdom, but he may be saved from the sin because innahu muta'awwil, he interpreted it as permissible. And the one who does ijtihad and is wrong, then he is rewarded. And in the end of this hadith, this great hadith, in it there is a lesson for those who contemplate. This king, the kafir king, who invited people to his worship, when people believed and they said, "We believe in Allah, the Lord of the boy," there came to him the people of evil, the people of hate, those who hate faith and its people, and said, "Ayyuha al-Malik, O King, the thing that you were trying to caution just took place, and that is Iman Billah, faith in Allah." And you know, he was very cautious concerning this. Why? Because he made of himself a god as Fir'aun. And he was a tyrant, oppressor. So he ordered the ditch, deep ditches on the entrances of the roads. And he said, commanding his soldiers, "Everyone who comes and does not abstain from his religion, then throw him into the ditches." The ditches were dug and the fire was lit in them. So people used to come, and when they reject the faith, they would be thrown in the fire. Or it would be said to them, however, when they go into the fire here and they burn in it, then they leave this abode of deception and haughtiness to the abode of bliss and settlement. Because the angels take their souls and they are good. يقولون, they say to them while they take their souls, as in Surah An-Nahl 16:32, سلام عليكم ادخلوا الجنة بما كنتم تعملون. سلام عليكم, enter you paradise because of the good which you used to do in this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them who receive this word, سلام عليكم ادخلوا الجنة بما كنتم تعملون. There is nothing greater than this sabr. There is nothing greater than this sabr. A woman came with her babe, still breastfeeding. When she saw the fire, it was as if she was retreating. When she saw the fire, it is as if she was retreating. She and her boy, her baby. فقال له الطفل, the boy or the baby said, يا أماه اصبري فإنك على الحق. O mother, endure this ordeal, for it is the truth. He spoke this when he was a babe. He did. But Allah made him speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an honor for this mother. And a miracle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her babe speak, so as to strengthen his mother to go into the fire and to stay on her iman. The speaking of this boy in the cradle is a great sign. And this boy testified that his mother was on the truth. Didn't he say to her, "Oh mother, endure this ordeal, for it is the truth"? So she endured, and she went, threw herself in the fire. And this is from the signs of Allah, and this is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves those of this kind. as he stated in Surah Az-Zumar 39:61. يُنَجِّي اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا بِمَفَازَتِهِمْ لَا يَمَسُّهُمُ السُّوءُ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And Allah will deliver those who are the pious and righteous to their places of success. Evil shall touch them not, nor shall they grieve. Maryam bint Imran, Maryam bint Imran, the daughter of Imran, may Allah be pleased with her. She left her people and she went to a place, pregnant, place east of Jerusalem, pregnant with her son, Isa, whom Allah created him by his word, kun, be, and he was. And there, as Allah said in Surah Maryam 19:23, فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. So the labor came to her, the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of the date palm, and she gave birth under the trunk of the date palm. And Allah made a stream flow next to her. And then Allah commanded her in the same surah, verse 25, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. And shake the trunk of date palm towards you, it will let fall fresh, ripe dates upon you. Fresh, ripe dates falling off the date palm tree, unaffected by its fall. But Allah kept them fresh, yet it falls off from a branch of the date palm. However, and this woman, a woman in a weak state, she didn't give birth yet she what? She shakes the trunk of the date palm, and the date palm shakes. And this is from the sign of Allah. Why? Because it is the norm that the date palm does not shake if it is shaken from the side of the trunk, except if some strong man shakes it from its branch. So she was told, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. The next verse. So eat and drink and be glad. Then she came home to her people carrying the babe. So they yelled and said, as in 27, يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. O Mary, indeed you have brought a thing, unheard mighty thing. Why? Because now they are certain that she committed adultery, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, we seek refuge in Allah. A babe without a husband? Then they said, to her, يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. O sister, the like of Aaron, who is not the brother of Musa, but he was another pious man at the time of Maryam. Okay? مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ. Your father was not a man who used to commit adultery. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. Nor your mother was an unchaste woman. So, where did you bring this then? This is insinuation of insults. So she pointed to him, meaning ask him. They said, كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا؟ كيف نكلم؟ Then they said, how can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? They thought that she is mocking them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this babe speak. He said eloquently, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, in the verses that follows, 30-33. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I am the slave of Allah. آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا, He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا. And he has made me blessed wherever I be, and has enjoined on me salah and zakah as long as I live. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, and dutiful to my mother, and made me not an arrogant unblessed. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا, and salam be upon me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive. 10 statements spoken by the babe in the cradle, so eloquently. Then look and contemplate the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal, making these babes speak the most eloquent speech, which does not come even from the people of intellect, as evident from the, it comes as a most eloquent speech that could come from an intellect. This tells of the great power and ability of Allah. And in this also, there is the clearance of Maryam from the accusation which was brought upon her due to the pregnancy, without a zawj, without a husband. And also, this babe with this woman, in the story of the king and the boy, whom she was reluctant and retreated, Allah honored her by the speech and the talking of the babe, her babe, in when he incited her to throw herself and stay on Iman. In this story and in the other story mentioned and the like, there is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves every believer in his ordeal, and every pious person in his ordeal, where it could be his destruction, Allah saves him. But Allah the Most High saved him because of the taqwa he had. And the evidence for this is in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء, come to know of Allah at times of ease, يعرفك في الشدة, he will know you and will be with you at times of hardship. والله الموفق, and all success is from Allah. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.